Hallelujah. Let's look very quickly at the books of Isaiah chapter 33. We shall be reading verses 15 and 16. And then we'll proceed to the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 11, verse 26. By the grace of God, I shall be speaking on the subject, I am speaking on the subject of youth in dominion, dash sustaining godly character unto dominion. Youth in dominion, dash sustaining godly character unto dominion. Let's look at those scriptures very quickly. Isaiah chapter 33, verses 15 and 16, then Acts chapter 11, verse 26. It says, he that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despiseth the gain of oppressions, that shaketh his hands from holding of bribes, that stoppeth his ears from hearing of blood, and shutteth his eyes from seeing evil, he shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks. Bread shall be given him. His waters shall be sure. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 11, verse 26. Speaking concerning the apostles, the disciples of Jesus. Then when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. The last part says, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Praise the Lord. Our objectives this morning are in threefold. Number one, to understand godly character. That's number one objective, is to understand godly character, what godly character is all about. Number two objective is to understand what it takes to sustain godly character. To understand what it takes to sustain godly character. And number three is to understand the benefits of godly character. Praise the Lord. By way of introduction, I'd like to begin this morning by saying that one of the greatest, if not the greatest requirements for dominion in life is godly character. One of the greatest, if not the greatest requirement of dominion both in life and destiny is godly character. I said that to say this, that godly character is a capital requirement for establishment in dominion. Godly character is a capital requirement for establishment in dominion. In other words, you don't dominate by characterlessness. You dominate by solid godly character. I also mean to say that you don't dominate by crookedness. You dominate by uprightness. For the crooked, there can be no dominion. But for the upright, your dominion is guaranteed. A typical example is taken from the life of the eagle. We have just what we just read in Isaiah chapter 33, verse 16, is talking about the eagle. The eagle is the king of the skies. But the eagle does not operate and does not exist like the vulture. The difference is just in their capacity to be upright. For the eagle, that is the eagle, is the king of the sky. He can fly to any height he wants. He can soar. He can do anything. The place of dominion is his place on a permanent ground. Note, are we following here? But you see, he is a bread that is given to purity. The eagle can eat anything that is corrupt. Sorry, the vulture can eat anything that is corrupt. But for the eagle, he must eat what is fresh. And that talks about purity. That talks about uprightness. That talks about godly character. So the eagle stands out among every bird because of his character of purity. People of God, if you want to be to the rise to the top, you want to be established in dominion, then the way of godly character is the way to go. Are we still following here? Very quickly, what exactly does godly character refer to? What is godly character? When we talk about godly character, what does it refer to? Number one, godly character is the consistent reflection of God's nature in a person's thoughts, actions, and attitudes. It is a consistent reflection of God's nature in a person's thoughts, in a person's actions, and attitudes. In other words, God is the Most High God, is the most powerful God, and is the most holy God. So we serve a God that is not just God, but is a powerful God. He's also a holy God. So the connection between God's powerfulness and his holiness must reflect in the child of God in order for him to take his place in dominion. God is the Most High God. He's the most powerful God. He's also the most holy God. That's why the Bible says, there is no, Moses sang that song, there is none as holy as our God. There is none beside him. There is none like our God. He is holy by nature. So if we are going to be able to stay in dominion, we must reflect the holy nature of God. Don't forget that we were created in the likeness and in the image of the Most High God. So if God is holy, then we can be holy. That's why the Bible says in the book, I think of First Timothy, about the Bible says, "You shall be holy, for I am holy." So we serve a holy God that is holy by nature. And if we have the nature of God, then we have the nature of righteousness and uprightness. Are we still following here? In case somebody has told you, or somebody by some form of funny revelation has told you that it is not possible in this age to live a godly life, I have good news for you. It is over possible. Are we following here? It is what? Over possible. Why? Yes, look at it. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. God bless you, there. Because it is written, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." That is God speaking. And that is the nature of God. For somebody here, the grace to reflect that godly nature of godly character is hereby released upon you in the name of Jesus. Very quickly. Number two, what is godly character? Number two, what is godly character? Godly character number two is Christ-likeness. 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 This means becoming more like Jesus in how we live, in how we love, in how we serve, and in how we respond to others. Becoming more like Jesus. Are we following here? In how we live our lives, in how we love others, in how we serve, and in how we respond to others. People of God, we have read in the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 11, verse 26, be the last part. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 11, verse 26, be the last part. The Bible says, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Are we following here? They were called Christians first in Antioch. Why were they called Christians first? They were called Christians because they were Christ-like in their life. They were called Christians first because they lived like Christ, they loved like Christ, they served like Christ, and they responded to others like Christ. People of God, the essence of your faith in God is manifested in your Christ-likeness. Are we following here? So you are not a Christian by the name you are called. You are not a Christian because you came from a family of Christians. You are not a Christian because of the church you attend. You are a Christian because you are Christ-like. Come on, are we following here? You are a Christian because your character reflects the Christ-like, the character of Jesus Christ. In other words, Christianity is not by name, it is by character. Are we following here? Your Christianity is not by your name, it is by your character. Are we following here? It is by your character. That's why Jesus says, by their fruits you shall know them. The fruit of Christianity is manifested in Christian character. In other words, you are not yet a Christian until you become Christ-like. Are we following here? You are not yet a Christian until you become Christ-like in how you live, in how you love, in how you serve, and in how you respond to others. What does that mean? Whatever Jesus will not do, you won't do because you are Christ-like. Come on, are we following here? Whatever Christ won't do, you won't do because you are Christ-like. Some of the things you do sometimes, young men, young women, you need to ask yourself, is this why Jesus died? If the answer is no, then it can be let go. It can be forbidden. Are we still following here? I pray for somebody here for the grace to be Christ-like from this conference in the name of Jesus Christ. That amen does not sound like you heard me, oh. Number three, very quickly, what is the implication of godly character? Godly character is not, number three, it is not what we profess, but what we manifest. Godly character is not what we profess, it is what we manifest. In other words, godly character is not something you try to explain. It is something you demonstrate. You don't have enough vocabularies to convince people about your godly character, but you have enough proofs demonstrated by God through you to confirm your godly character. Are we following here? So above all, it is not what you say you are. It is what you are by your actions. It is not what you say you are in the public that makes you have a godly character. It is what you are in the secret where nobody else is. And the question this morning is, the Bible says, these guys, Acts of the Apostles, chapter 11, verse 36, again, let's look at that scripture, the B part. They were called Christians first in Antioch. Are we following here? At this time, Christ was not with them. At this time, they were left to themselves. The question this morning is, if you are left to yourself, or you find yourself in an environment where there are no Christians, and you happen to be the only Christian, will you still be Christ-like? And that is what we're talking about. That is what we're talking about. That is what makes you a Christian. The grace to manifest the Christ-like nature is hereby released upon you in the name of Jesus. Very quickly, what does it take to sustain godly character? What does it take to sustain godly character? Number one, it takes intimacy with God. Intimacy with God. Intimacy with God, close association with God, koinonia with God, consistent, permanent intimacy with God, unbroken intimacy with God. In the book of John, chapter 15, verse 4, John chapter 15, verse 4. Jesus was speaking, he says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can he except he abide in me. Let's look at the New Living Version of that scripture quickly. New Living Version, media to have it. Let's look at it very quickly. Abide in me, and I will abide in you. That is Jesus. Yes, look at it. Look at it, John chapter 15, verse 4, the New Living Translation. He said, remain in me. And what will happen? And I will remain in you. Oh my God. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is sapped or severed from the vine. And you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Let me tell you about remaining in Christ. Tell your neighbor, remain in God. Tell your neighbor, remain in God. What does that mean? It simply means you should not allow anything to interrupt your intimacy with God. In other words, no situation, no circumstance of life should interrupt or intercept your intimacy with God. And hear me this morning, whatever takes you away from God is an enemy. And whatever takes you closer to God is the best friend. Are we following here? So interaction, intimacy with God. And hear this morning, the more intimate we are with God, the more of God's nature we absorb. Why? Because association brings about absorption and assimilation. God's mother father said that many years ago. He said, your association determines your assimilation. How do I know? Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20. Proverbs 13, 20. The Bible makes it clear in the book of Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20. It says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. You can't walk with a wise man and become a fool. And for your information, our God is referred to as the only wise God. You can't have intimate relationship with God and become the only foolish child of God. The more intimate you are with God, the wiser you become. The more intimate you are with God, the holier you become. Why? God's purity guarantees your impurity. Are we following? God's purity reveals your impurity. And hear this, the closer you are to God, the more your impurities are absorbed by the purity of God. Because the presence of God purifies. Come on, church, are we together? God's people, are we still together here? That is why you must not take for granted anything that affects your intimacy with God must be set aside. Time with me to talk about the scripture in the book of Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17. Proverbs 27, 17. Look at what the Bible says. It says, Proverbs 27, 17. It says, iron sharpeneth iron. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. So when you relate with God, God sharpens and shapes you to become more like him. Receive the grace to maintain intimacy with God from this conference in the name of Jesus Christ. Number two, very quickly, what does it take to sustain godly character? Number two, it is the reverential fear of God. The reverential fear of God. The reverential fear of God. That is living permanently in the fear of God. And here these people of God, when we talk about the fear of God, we are not saying that you should be afraid of God. Are we following here? To fear God is not to be afraid of God. What does it mean to fear God? Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13. What does it mean to fear God? Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13. Look at it. It said, the fear of the Lord is to do what? To hate evil. Pr- pride and arrogancy and evil and the evil way and the forward mouth do I hate you. To fear God is to hate evil. You can't claim to have the fear of God when you are a lover of evil at any point. Hear this today. Your fear of God is confirmed by your hatred for evil. If in the church you are excited and you are loving God, and then outside the church you are loving evil, that is not the fear of God. Somebody had the fear of God in scripture. That man, his name is called Joseph, was called Joseph. He had the fear of God. He had the fear of God. In the book, I think in the book of Genesis, chapter 39, you know, you read verses. Genesis chapter 39, yes, you read verses 5, 6, and then verse 9. You realize that Joseph had the fear of God. He was a young man like everyone here. He had the fear of God. And he was so good looking that Potiphar's wife wanted him to sleep with him. Wanted him to sleep with her. But you see, he ran away. Are we following here? He ran away. And here is, the fear of God determines what you run away from. And it also determines what you run into. Joseph ran away from the wrong sin. He ran away from the wrong association. If you are truly a child of God who has a reverential fear of God, everybody cannot be your friend. Oh my, are we falling here? Just anybody cannot be your friend. He ran away. And look at, I now realize from scripture, the secret of Joseph. I think in the book of Genesis, chapter 42, verse 18, his secret was revealed there. Look at it, Genesis chapter 42, verse 18. He was talking to his brothers. And the Bible said, and Joseph said unto them, they taught them, this do and live, for I fear God. Abosh, this do and live. So the more of the fear of God you have, the longer you live. Let me tell your neighbor, please fear God. Tell somebody by your side, please fear God. Tell your neighbor, fear God. Tell another person, fear God. And that will keep you from evil and help you to sustain your godly character. And that takes us quickly to number 3. Receive the grace and the fresh baptism of the fear of the Lord from this conference in the name of Jesus. Very quickly. Number 3, what does it take to sustain the godly character? It is called brutal integrity. Brutal, financial, and moral, and all-round integrity. This is crucial because integrity is a pillar of godliness. Is one of the pillars of godliness. Brutal integrity. Joseph had it. He had it. Where we just read in the book of, where I just made reference to, in the book of Genesis chapter 39, verses 5 to 6 and 9. Let's look at that scripture quickly. He said, and it came to pass from that time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptians as for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. Look at it. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. And he knew not what he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. Let's take it all the way to verse 9. Let's continue verse 7, 8, or to 9 so that we can have a clear understanding. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph. And she said, lie with me. God forbid. Somebody says, God forbid. And he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wanted not what is with me in the house. And he had committed all that he had to my hand except you. There is none greater in this house than I. Neither had they kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? That was Joseph's reply. People of God, there are opportunities that have to be denied in order for destiny to be fulfilled. There are opportunities that have to be suspended, that have to be let go, that have to die in order for you to fulfill destiny. Brutal integrity. Hear this today. Sexual immorality is one of the worst things that the enemy is using to ravage the world globally right now. But hear this. Be very sensitive. Are we following here? You may not be the one that will initiate it. It has reached a point now where even women are initiating such things. Come on, are we following here? But let it be clear to you that if it, what is not your intention does not deserve your attention. So if for any reason there is an initiation that is contrary to your intention, what do you do? Disconnect your attention. Denied attention. That was what Joseph did. He ran away. And then the woman grabbed his shirt and used this as an evidence against him. But you see, men may not know the truth, but God knows the truth. Are we following here? Hear this. Don't be afraid of false accusation, because vindication and vengeance is of the Lord. When God arises where you were falsely accused, he will vindicate you. Are we following here? That was what happened to Joseph. So don't be afraid of the consequences of refusal to compromise. God will always go ahead of you. In that same city, Potiphar's wife was there when Joseph became the prime minister. She accused him, but she couldn't stop him. I declare to somebody, their accusations shall not stop you. Their false accusations shall not stop you from fulfilling your destiny. If you believe me, can I hear your loud amen here? Take your seat very quickly. Are we still following here? Brutal financial integrity. When people give you money, let it remain the way it was given. Church, are we together here? When you have opportunity to keep money for somebody or to keep ministry money, it is not your own. What does not have your name attached cannot be possessed by you. Come on, are we following here? What does not have your name attached cannot become your own. Are we following here? If something is given to you and it is not, they didn't say it is yours, then ensure that you don't convert it to be your own by enemies. And hear this, as we proceed to the end of the age, integrity will be a major scarce commodity in the marketplace. Come on, are we together? Financial integrity is a major scarce commodity in the entire marketplace. It doesn't matter. It's possible to be a professor. If you don't have financial integrity, you can suffer in poverty. It is not about your certificate. It is about your character. Come on, church, are we together here? A skillful person that does not have integrity will end up in poverty. Are we following here? But a non-skillful person that has integrity will eventually acquire skill, empowered by grace, and then it will end in prosperity and dominion. So please ensure you covet and possess brutal financial integrity. Integrity took Daniel to the place of relevance. I pray for you today. Integrity will take you to the place of dominion in the name of Jesus Christ. If you believe me, can I hear your loud amen here? And hear this morning. The path of integrity may be slow but sure. The path of integrity may be slow but sure. And the path of compromise may be fast, but it must fail. The path of integrity may be slow, but it is sure. And then the path of compromise may be fast, but it must fail. God's servant, our father in the faith, the senior pastor, is somebody whose life has affected my life and reshaped my life. In those days, in the early days of the commission until now, when he used to be giving money when he travels by the commission, he says when he returns, he retires the balance. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying now. He's the president and founder, the vision coordinator, the vision carrier of the commission. If he does not retire it, nobody will ask him, but will God be happy? So he said anytime he returns from such trips, he retires the balance. How many of you here did somebody send before to buy something and you had change left and you returned it? How many of you? Very few. Very few. If you eat people's change, your own change will never come in life. Come on, church, have it together. If you tamper with any balance, your life can never be balanced. That is the truth. Whatever is not yours cannot be taken from. Whatever is not yours must not be tampered with and must not be converted to yours. Here it is. Adam ate one fruit in the garden and he lost every fruit. But that shall not be your case. Receive the grace for brutal integrity from this service in the name of Jesus Christ. What I'm talking now is very, very, this one is very, very serious. But hear this, no matter how you feel, just change. Establish, adjust your life in the name of Jesus Christ. Very quickly, I'll rush, my time is almost gone, I'll rush to the balance. Number four, what is the way to sustaining godly character? By keeping the right company. The right company. The right company. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20. Where we read, the Bible says, he that walketh with a wise man shall be wise, and a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Again, Proverbs 27:17, it says, iron sharpeneth iron, so does the countenance of a man's friend sharpen that of his friend. So, you must beware of your company. Beware of your company. Don't try to belong. Try to stand out. And now, I heard God's servant talking about, saying some things yesterday to us in this meeting. And he said, be different. Be different. Stand out in character. Refuse to belong. You don't have to belong to fulfill destiny. You don't have to be, and if you must belong at all, belong to the right company. That's what I'm talking about. If you must belong, then belong to the right company. I pray for somebody today. May the Lord God guide your steps away from the wrong associations and order your steps into the right association. In the name of Jesus. And then number five, very quickly, what does it take to sustain godly character? Number five, it is existence with the consciousness of eternity. Existence with the consciousness of eternity. Living with the mindset that one day you will give account of your life to God. People of God, I want to let you know that heaven is real. Hell is also real. Don't accept any theology that is contrary to the truth of the existence of heaven and hell. Hear this today. That's why the Bible says, it is appointed unto man once to die. After that judgment, God will bring every work of every man into limelight at that point. And at that point, there is no space, no chance for mercy. No wonder in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. Yes, Hebrews 9:27, God bless you, media. Yes, Hebrews 9:27 is appointed not to man once to die after that judgment. And then Ecclesiastes Yes. God bless you. Now let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. Let's look at it quickly. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 14 and 13. 13 and 14. It says, let us hear the conclusion of this matter this morning. Fear God and do what? And keep his commandment. For this is the whole duty of man. Then why? Verse 14. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Whatever you call secret is open before God. Whatever you think is a secret is an open secret before God. He sees where no other man sees. Are we following here? So understand that as far as your life is concerned, there is a day coming that you will give account, total account of your entire existence on the earth. It is my prayer that when that time comes, you will not miss it. It is my prayer that when that time comes, you will locate, mercy will locate you. Grace shall find you. In the name of Jesus, stand up on your feet. Stand up on your feet. Glory be to God. And how do you handle it? What's my counsel? My counsel, number one, is consistent repentance from sins. Please don't live to be comfortable with sin to a point where you have given up and said, yeah, you won't ask for mercy anymore. Apply for the mercy of God. And apply for the grace of God that keeps a man, gives a man the ability to say no to sin. Are we following here this morning? Consistent repentance. Repentance. Don't sleep with an unconfessed sin. Ensure that every sin is noted and confessed. Why? Whoso covereth his sins shall not prosper. But he that confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. That's in the book of Proverbs. Consistent repentance from sin. You may start it to look as if you are going back again. Still ask for God's mercy again. And finally apply for grace. When grace is at work, the sin that used to be an attraction can be repelled. Because grace has come. It is your time to be engaged. Lift up your voice and appreciate God. Go ahead and give God praise. I believe that God has spoken to somebody here. And if you are that person, lift up your voices and appreciate God this morning. Go ahead and give him praise. Appreciate him, adore him, magnify him. Father, we thank you. Lord, we give you praise. Appreciate God. In the name of Jesus Christ, we have prayed. Very quickly, altar call has been made severally here. But it's possible that somebody was not here when the altar call was made. Or by this message, you had a conviction, or you just received a conviction that there is something that needs to be confessed. There is a sin. There is something somewhere that you may have forgotten. And then you need grace also. There is grace on this ground. Our Father in the faith is not living a sinful life. I mean, I've had the privilege of being around for some time. I have also watched his life. He's very careful with his actions. Very, very deliberate with his actions. You know, God's servant, Pastor Jim said, somebody told him that Papa Bishop David Rego is hard. Our Father is harder. In that hardness, there is tenderness. Yes. In that hardness, and hear this, you need to go through hardness in order to become all you want to become. There is no launch for a soft life. Soft life is a product of hard labor. Are we following here? The hardness has shaping our lives. For good till Jesus comes, it will shape in your life. Lift up your voice and appreciate God again. Go ahead and give God praise. Go ahead and appreciate God. Lift up your voices and appreciate God. Give him praise. Very quickly here this morning, you want to say, Pastor, please, I mean, your message just touched me. I want my sins forgiven. I want to ask for grace to live a godly character. On this altar, there is grace. That grace that has kept our father, that grace that has kept some of us, that grace is available here. It's available here. You want to say, Pastor, please pray for me. I need grace to live a godly life. And I want to forsake every form of addictions, every form of sin, full lifestyle, and all of that. You are in that category this morning. Can you put your heart right hand on your chest? Pray this prayer after me. Lord Jesus, I thank you for today. I come before you, Lord, and I apply for your mercy. Forgive me my sins and cleanse me, Lord, from all unrighteousness. And from today, give me the grace to live for you. The grace to exist in godly character. Perpetually, I ask for that grace in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You prayed that prayer with me. Can you just wave your right hand wherever you are? You prayed that prayer. God bless you. God bless you. Yes, wave it. Wave it. You prayed that prayer with me. Wave it. Very quickly, take your Bible, your bags, and come forward. I'm going to pray for you here. For grace. For that grace, we're asking for. I will join forces with you for that grace to be released upon you. Quickly come forward from wherever you are. Just from everywhere. Take your Bible, your bag, and quickly come forward. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, mighty God. Okay, while they are trying to come forward, lift up your right hand, everyone here. Pray after me, Father, I ask for your mercy. For every act of ungodliness, for everything I have done that does not reflect your nature, that is not Christ-like. Father, I apply for your mercy. And I ask for the grace, not just to have a godly life, but to sustain godly life. I apply, oh God, for that grace now. In the name of Jesus, lift up your voice and pray that prayer. For everyone that has prayed, I declare that grace by which God's servant, our father, is standing, that grace by which our mother in the faith is standing, that grace by which we stand, and that grace on this altar, the same grace we have received by the death of Christ on the cross, I declare that that grace is hereby extended unto you in the name of Jesus. From today, the grace to say no to sin, the grace to run away from every sinful appearance, the grace for godly, sound godly character is hereby released upon you in the name of Jesus. That amen does not sound like you are receiving it. And for every one of you out here, I pray for you today. I declare and decree that the yoke of sin be broken off your life. Grace to live for God is released upon you. I take authority over every demon of addiction, and I declare that the yoke of addiction is thereby broken off your life. Anything that is trying to be a god to you in the secret, we dethrone them today in the name of Jesus. And we establish the rule and the reign of God over your life in the name of Jesus Christ. For you, young men and women here, grace is released upon you to live the godly life in the name of Jesus Christ. Please take your seats in God's presence. Brothers and sisters in front, right behind you, we have our counselors. They are going to lead you. Please follow them, and then they will talk to you and you join in the next session. Church, can we give the Lord a big clap offering? Let's celebrate the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, because grace to live and godly, to have godly character is already released upon you in the name of Jesus. Lift up your voices and appreciate God.